Hello, David Deger Hernandez here. You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest sermons and teachings. Become a supporter of the Encounter Podcast. To make a one-time or monthly donation, visit davidhernandezministries.com/donate or call 888-740-1110. After this lesson is finished, I'm going to begin next week teaching a brand new series on the Holy Spirit. Now, I've often said this, there's so much to the Holy Spirit and His person and His nature and His power that really I could probably teach a message on the Holy Spirit every single week for the rest of my life and never really run out of material. There is that much to Him. So next week, I'll be beginning a new lesson series on the person of the Holy Spirit. But now I want to get into this. Again, to recap, we prayed and taught on how to hear His voice, obey His leading, receive His power, and understand His revelation. Now, I'm starting this one, part two, with how to believe His truth, or the fact that we need to believe His truth. And I'm going to pray with you that He would help you to believe His truth, because you understand His revelation when you hear His voice, when you obey His leading, when you receive His power. But there is often this fight in the believer to receive that truth in such a way that it impacts the way you think and feel. For example, I often receive prayer requests from people who are struggling, and they're just so defeated. They're talking about how I'm down here, and I'm depressed, and I'm anxious. And I don't mean to trivialize those things. I don't mean to make you sound like you're not spiritual for dealing with those things. But there are those people, those believers, who are living in a constant state of struggle. They're living in a constant state without joy, without peace, without love. And there is no magnetism about their spirituality. The Holy Spirit is colorful. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. The Holy Spirit is full of power and mystery. And there's life to Him. There's a vibrancy to Him. So those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, those who have Him, have this charisma about them. They have this magnetism that attracts people. There is this life to them. And so when I talk about this portion of the lesson, I'm specifically talking about those who are living in defeat. Mentally, they're defeated. Emotionally, they're defeated. Verbally, they're defeated. Everything about them exudes this darkness, this heaviness, this cry for help, if you will. And they're lacking the power. They're lacking the peace. They're lacking the joy. And I wonder how people can live in such a way. You see, you're waiting for God to dramatically change everything around you. Lord, change my circumstances. Change my life. Change my situation. Give me a miracle. And once you give me that miracle, once you transform my situation, once you get me to the place where I want to be, then I will begin to believe what your word says. But God reverses it on us. We say, Lord, show me and I'll believe. But God says, believe and I'll show you. So this is the battle. This is the fight to believe His truth. While we are praying for a dramatic transformation of our outer circumstance, God is trying to get us to make a small inner shift. The scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight to believe what God has said. Fight to exist in your new spiritual reality. Fight to exist as a new creation. You can be forgiven and still feel like you're guilty. You can be loved and still feel like you're rejected. You can be striving for holiness and still feel like a hypocrite. What happens when your new mind seems to be thinking old thoughts, when your new nature seems to be embracing old patterns? You have to fight the fight of faith. You have to fight to believe what He says. And that's what the Holy Spirit helps us to do. In fact, it's one of His primary focuses to get us to believe the truth over the lie. The scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We cry, Abba, Father, by the Holy Spirit. He's the one who convinces us of our new status as sons and daughters of God. He's the one who convinces us to believe what the Word says. He's the one who takes the truth and makes it our reality. The Holy Spirit wants you to believe the truth. The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We are to take those things, those thoughts that are contrary to what the Word of God says, and we're to cast them down, and it's only by the Spirit. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we believe His truth. I want to pray with you now. The first prayer. This is a prayer to believe His truth. You're struggling. You're saying, Lord, I'm wavering. You see, the fight is not necessarily with sin. As a mature believer, you're to have a handle on sin. Yes, you make mistakes daily, but you are to have a handle on sin and not be living a sinful lifestyle. As a mature believer, you're not to fear demonic powers. You are to have power over both sin and demonic beings as a mature believer. What then is our fight? Our fight as mature believers is simply to have faith. Sometimes the most difficult thing is to simply believe the truth when we feel so much different than what it tells us to feel. When we experience what seems to be contradictory to what the Bible says, fight to believe the truth. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for that one watching, Lord, for that one listening. And I ask you in the precious name of Jesus to give them a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit. Father, when we are weak, be strong for us. When we struggle to believe your truth, back us by your Spirit. Embolden us by your Holy Spirit. Teach us to believe. Teach us to have faith in what you have said in the name of Jesus. And I want you to say it, say amen. So that was number 5 of the series, number 1 for this lesson. We need to believe his truth. Number 2 in this lesson, number 6 in the whole series, we need to embrace his gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So God wants us to be informed about the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to understand what it is that he has given to us in the church. God wants us to embrace these gifts. God wants us to understand these gifts. God wants us to accept these gifts. Why would you want to receive any less than all for which Christ died to give you? The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 3, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle is writing to the Corinthians, former pagans. He's saying here, look, some of you were pagans. So I need you to understand the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In their pagan minds, they probably stood a good chance of confusing the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit for their former pagan power. So he's saying, look, I don't want you to be ignorant. He's saying no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, and no man who has the Holy Spirit will say Jesus is accursed. So he's giving them, Paul the Apostle is giving these former pagans a way to discern which power is from God and which power is from the enemy. And you can tell which miracles are of God by the message that those miracles proclaim. If the message is Jesus, God's Son, crucified, resurrected, and coming again, if the message is Jesus, the salvation of all mankind, if the message is Jesus, the only way to the Father, then the miracles that back that message have to be of God. This isn't to say that no fakes can preach the truth. This is simply to say that we can be discerning by this standard when judging the spiritual gifts. So some people reject the gifts of the Holy Spirit because they're afraid of embracing something else. I've had people tell me all the time, well, speaking in tongues is not biblical anymore, or speaking in tongues is not for our day. And somehow they will go from saying it's not biblical all the way to declaring it demonic. They're so paranoid, they're so worried about making a mistake in this area that they reject what the Holy Spirit wants to give them. But Paul the Apostle is saying, look, here's how you tell the difference. By the one whom they proclaim, Jesus is Lord. That message is the one that is in proper alignment. That is the message that you must listen for. If something doesn't point to Jesus, then it is not of God. So we can lay aside our fears, not because necessarily we have the perfect discernment, but because we have the perfect Father. My trust is not in my ability to get everything right. My trust is in his ability to protect me from things that are not of him. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 6 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Lord. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Now read that again, and I misread that just to point that out. You notice it says Spirit, Lord, God, that's Spirit, Son, Father. The Trinity is mentioned here when it's talking about God bestowing gifts upon the church. You know what this means? It means the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit decided in unity. They took a vote and placed the gifts on your life. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all together decided what gifts you would have. Now think about that. That's incredible. That means that whatever they decide in unity can never be undone, which is why the scripture says the gifts and the call are without repentance. Now, we must embrace what has been given to us. We've each been given a gift. Do not reject the work of the Holy Spirit through his gifts because you've seen other people do things with those gifts that are bizarre or out of line or fleshly. Do not reject his gifts. Instead, say, Holy Spirit, I want to have all that you want to give to me. I want to receive all for which Christ died to give. You say, well, Jesus only died for our salvation. Not true. It was the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I have to go before the Spirit can come. Jesus had to go through the process. Read John chapter 6. He had to go through the incarnation, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, and the transfiguration in order to send the Holy Spirit. So it was all a part of God's plan. Receive him, embrace him. I want you right now to lay aside your reservations and your hesitations and just put your hands out now. We're going to pray. We're going to pray this prayer. This is a prayer to embrace his gifts. Say, Holy Spirit, forgive me for rejecting your gifts. I embrace all. Say it again. I embrace all that you desire to give me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. That was a prayer to embrace his gifts. So believe his truth, embrace his gifts. And here's another one. Be aware of his presence. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Sometimes it can feel like the Holy Spirit is not with us. But remember, the Holy Spirit is always in us. When we worship, when we pray, we experience the sense of his presence. I know you've had those services or those times in your prayer life where you sense the Lord very close to you. When you experience that, it's not that God is coming nearer to you. It's that you are becoming more aware of his presence. We say things all the time like, I was praying and the power of the Holy Spirit came down. I was worshiping, and the presence of God showed up. No, it didn't. The presence of God is in you. The power of God is in you. When you worship, when you pray, when you do those things which set your mind upon Christ, and you sense His presence come near you, it's not that God is coming nearer. It's not that power is coming down. It's that you are becoming more aware of that which is always there. We must be aware of His presence. You can live and exist in a 24/7 awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can have a fellowship with Him 24/7. You can commune with Him 24/7. His presence is always upon you. I remember one time I was ministering in Arizona, and I was staying at a hotel, and in that hotel, there was an elevator. I stepped into the elevator to take it all the way down to the lobby, and when I stepped in that elevator, I was stopped a couple floors before my stop. These two women walk in, and for the rest of that ride down, which wasn't that long, they're looking at me. One of them begins to tremble and cry, and I didn't think much of it. Eventually, I found what it was. The girl explained to me that she was trembling and crying because, in her words, I sense something on you. There's something about you. That is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't feel Him in that elevator. I wasn't sensing Him to the point where I was trembling and crying. But that girl was. Those ladies were. God's presence is upon you 24/7. God's presence is within you 24/7. Whether you feel Him or not, listen, you have got to stop convincing yourself according to your emotions. You have got to stop telling yourself that because you don't feel Him, He isn't near to you. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. That's a lie from the enemy. You've got to stop telling yourself that you've made a mistake somewhere along the line because you don't feel His presence. I understand that there are times where we sin and it breaks off our sense of His presence. I understand that. But if you can't point to the place, if you can't point to the act, if you can't point to the very thing that caused you to be separated from Him in your sense, because remember, He's always with us, separated from Him in your sense, then you need to seek the Lord. And if after seeking the Lord, you still sense that distance, just know that whether or not you feel Him, He is still with you. And sometimes He won't allow you to feel His presence just to make you seek Him. I was today at my condo, and they were working on the water in my building. Now, they decided to pick the most convenient hours for everyone else, the least convenient hours for me, because I'm not necessarily on the same schedule as everybody else, as far as regular hours go. I work from home some part of the day. Sometimes I come into the office. Sometimes I'm traveling. And I have a very odd schedule, and it keeps me very busy. But today, I was at home. And so for about 3 hours, they had the water shut off right in the middle of the day. And I didn't realize how many times I used water all throughout the day until it wasn't there. Only when the water was shut off did I realize how much I needed it. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, that's how it is with my presence sometimes. Sometimes I'll remove the sense, not my actual presence, but the sense of my presence, so that you can realize how desperate you are for me. Maybe that's what God's doing for you. But you have got to be confident. You have got to have faith. You have got to believe His truth that His presence is always with you, despite what you feel. And be aware of His presence 24/7. Now I want to pray for you for this specific direction. And being aware of His presence. Lord, I pray for that one watching right now. Holy Spirit, we know that You are in us, that You never leave us. I pray in the name of Jesus for that one watching, for that one listening, that You would help them to walk by faith and not by the sense of the flesh. You would help us all, Lord, to be more aware of Your presence. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Finally, this is number 4 in today's lesson, number 8 in the 2-week series. We need to bear His fruit. the greatest sign of the indwelling presence of God is not speaking in tongues. It's not the ability to cast out devils. It's not the ability to perform miracles. It's not the ability to heal the sick. The greatest demonstration that you are filled with the Holy Spirit is what we see in these verses. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We must be people who bear his fruit. You can pray in tongues, and then with that same mouth, tear people down. You can lay hands on the sick for compassion or for ambition. You can go into ministry for the sake of love or for the sake of status. Pride, stubbornness, arrogance, impatience. We need to be rid of these things. We cannot love people properly if we're always in a hurry. We cannot bear one another's burdens if we are always in a hurry, if we are always rushed. We need to be people who bear the fruit, who are calm, who are stable, who are filled with peace and love and joy, who attract people around them, who show off the beauty of Christ, not the leftovers of the flesh. We need to bear his fruit. So I'm going to pray now that God would help you to bear his fruit. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for those watching and listening right now. And I ask you, Lord, to reveal and expose areas in which we need your guidance. Let us bear your fruit, Master. Holy Spirit, as your presence now surrounds us, and as we sense your presence and power, I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to mold us into the image of your Son. Help us to be more like Christ. Lord, take everything out of us which is not of you. Purify us, Lord. Sanctify us for your name's sake, that we may glorify Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you magnify and exalt the name of Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your love that you place in our hearts toward Christ and others. You, Holy Spirit, love Jesus more than anyone on earth. Give us that love that we might bear the character of Christ also. Change us the way you want us to be changed, not just in the ways we want to be changed. I thank you, Lord, for your patience with us. Help us to bear your fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. And I want you to say it. If you agree, say amen. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Become a supporter of the Encounter Podcast. To make a one-time or monthly donation, visit davidhernandezministries.com/donate or call 888-740-1110. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.